Aloha.
Aloha.
How many of you had a great Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Based on our attendance today, it's clear to say you guys survived Black Friday. Can I get a witness, right? Or should we call it Black Thursday now, right? Right, what a privilege. You know, I grew up in an old-fashioned church, an old-style church. We sang some old choruses of the faith. But one of the things we did every Sunday was we would have 2 to 3 people stand up where they were in the pew, and we would let them say a short little thing about what they're thankful for, all right? So we're about to go old school this morning. Can I get an amen here, right? And so, but I need to, like, put some rules and regulations down, okay? I'm going to ask for 2 to 3 people to say thankful for, and if that's one of you today, I'm not going to handpick you. If you feel led to do that, you can stand where you are, and I'll point at you, and then you can talk. There's really 3 rules, all right? All right, don't try to preach the sermon. That's my job today, okay? So keep it to, like, 30 seconds. You're thankful for blah, 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 right? Number 2, okay, stay on point. Tell yourself, put your hands on your head, and say, self. On point. Okay, all right, because one of you are going to be, you guys are like to talk about everything else and all that. We got a sermon today already, okay? And number 3, stand up where you are. Articulate your words, Hawaiians. No, for real. Articulate your words so we can understand you, all right? So if that's one of you, would you, in those 3 guidelines, stand up in the name of Jesus and share what you're thankful for? Auntie Jackie, come on, girl.
I'm thankful that God let Zeke back into my life after all these years. And I'm so proud of him, and I'm thankful for Honor Church. Yeah. I'm thankful for my children and my grandchildren and my husband. And I thank you for having us, our family here.
Amen. 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 You guys ever want to hear my story before Jesus Christ? Go talk to Auntie Jackie, okay? Awesome. Somebody else. Go, Darwin.
I'm thankful for my family and friends, and also Jesus, and also to God this weekend and tomorrow.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, last one. Hey, but in just wanted to let you know, San Francisco 49ers playing the Miami Dolphins. So we're going to pray that Auntie smiles towards me. It's not because she's looking at her phone and the game, right? Okay, Auntie, go.
I thank God has saved me and my family and brought us all to him and serving him. And brought my sister and changing her life. And my daughter and all my kids and my grandchildren.
Amen. Amen. I think half of the family in this church is related to Auntie Donna's in here. So if they have a family reunion, it may be empty in the future, the building, all right? But this is what I'm thankful for. You ready? It's my turn. I'm thankful for a church that preached the Word of God. And now I'm not just talking about me. I'm talking about the leaders who lead our community groups, the leaders who lead outside community groups beyond the walls of this church. And secondly, I'm thankful for you because I am of the old school in my preaching style. I preach harshly. I preach hard. And I am proud that even in the harsh preaching, you chose fit to remain in God's ohana. Amen. I'm thankful for that. The thing that God has always placed on my heart was that I would not be a preacher that tickled people's ears. We have a lot of that today. But the totality of Scripture will be professed in our preaching styles, in our preaching understanding. And many of you keep, you leave for a season and you come back because you realize you want it 100. I don't want it any other less. I want people to speak truth in me like the great men and women of the faith who entrusted the Scriptures to me. And today when we think of being thankful, I'm thankful for this series that we're continuing on in called Illuminate. Say it with me. Illuminate. For weeks, we have been talking about what it means to be illuminated by Christ. Okay, this is not the Illuminati that we see of today's culture, right? When we say this word illuminate, we mean to inspire, to make much of, to show a revelation or some sort. And we believe that our standard of preaching and style is all directed to verse-by-verse book studies. And so if you're new to the congregation of Acts for the last year and a half, there is about 28 chapters in this book. It took us, a year and a half to get to chapter 13. Can I get a witness? All right. Jesus may come back before we get to chapter 28. Can I get glory in here? All right. That's fine. We feel to better understand our context, to better understand our culture, we need to go verse by verse through the books of the Bible. And we have finally landed on the last portion of chapter 13. Can I get an amen? Amen of it, right? Not saying that we need to get out of it, but just the joy that God has got us this far. Yeah. And it will take us further. So would you stand with me in the continuation of the reading of God's word? Again, we're old school. A lot of new churches don't do this. It's fine. We like to stand in the reading of God's word. Why? Why not? Amen. The theme verse of Acts chapter 13 is found in verse 47. Would you read it out loud with me on the count of three? 1, 2, 3. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. God, we love your word. And Lord, we don't separate your word from you. You are the living word. And Spirit of God, illuminate our hearts, illuminate our minds in the mighty name of Jesus. And we pray, amen. You may be seated. So I don't have time to read every single verse in today's text, all right? Don't be legalistic, all right? Don't boo me right now because I'm reading every verse. But what I want to do is a seminary approach that I've learned in seminary. And it's called a survey style of looking at our text. I want us to use this main verse and really talk about what's surrounding this verse. Are you with me? Yeah. And here's really two things I want us to hit. And here's my heart, that you would be illuminated today. Like some of you may have been hurt by the church and you've got back. Nevertheless, I want you to be encouraged today. Yeah. But before you can be encouraged, I want you to feel dirty. No, I'm serious. I want you to know that you sin against a holy God. You sin directly towards God. And I want you to know that we won't stay on that sin, but we look for the illumination of Christ and the evidence of the gospel in our text today to free us from so much dirt. If you're just like me, if you need to be free from some dirt, say amen.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, neighbor, I need to be free. Tell your other neighbor, angel, say, angel neighbor,
angel neighbor.
I need to be free. Now give God some clap for praise this morning, right? Here's 2 points I want to drive today. If you're ready, say, I'm ready, Kahu. Number one, the message of Christ moves forward to new locations. Okay, as we understand our text, we see Paul and Barnabas traveling to the island of Cyprus. Now they have done their mission journey. They're at Cyprus. And now we see in the remainder, we look at the survey of our verses, we see that Paul and Barnabas is now about to leave with these new believers off the island of Cyprus to a place called Antioch. But here's the deal. It's the same Antioch they came from in verses 1 to 4. It's a different Antioch. The Antioch we talked about in verses 1 to 4 was the Antioch located in Syria. The Antioch they're going is to more northern, western, towards Europe in a modern-day place called Turkey. Anybody heard of the word Turkey? Right? We ate some turkey Thursday night. Well, there is a country named Turkey. And that is where Paul, Barnabas, and the believers in Jesus Christ that were in on the Cyprus of Ireland went to. Why did they go to Antioch? Well, they went there to advance the message of Christ. Say that with me. The message of Christ moves forward to new locations. I mean, we got to understand this. This is what God calls it. This is what Paul calls it inside the scriptures, an open door. Say that with me. Open door. Many of you came in an open door, correct? Yeah, because the door, you're in here, Hawaiian, right? If the door was not open, you would not help me out. Be in. Come on, help me out, all right? The door was open. Come on in, come on in. The door is open, right? There's a, and this is what we got to understand. Paul prayed for one thing when he wrote scripture. That God would open the door for the message of Christ to be advanced. Hear me. He didn't pray for materialistic things. He didn't pray for self-needy things. He prayed so that the message of Christ would go to new locations. It says it in Colossians, one of the books he wrote, a prison letter. While he was in prison in Rome, he wrote this letter and said this. At the same time, brothers and sisters, say that word with me, what? Pray also for what? Us. That God may what?
Open.
Stop right there. What?
Open.
It goes on to say, open to us a door for the
word.
You see that? Not open the door for our food. Although I like food, as you can tell, right? Not open the door for even their music. Though I love great worship music. Not even open the door for anything else so that we'll be better missionaries on the football team. But that we, there will be a door open for the verbal word of God to be articulated and proclaimed to those we come in contact, not just in Hilo, but to the ends of the earth.
Amen.
It is not the gospel if it's not used with words. Like you can feed homeless people. And they still go to hell after that. And clothe people. And they can still go to hell. I know it's not a popular message, but that's what the Bible says. You can do nice random acts of kindness. And they still go to hell. The gospel is bigger than just us doing fancy Google Gaga things for other people. The gospel is about preaching the word. God, his heart's forever. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Going to hurt sometimes. Right now, some of you, you saw because you're not used to this kind of preaching. Get used to it because if you want to be free in the name of Jesus, here's your freedom. The gospel. The gospel. I thank God that growing up in a culture like Hawaii, I had hard-nosed coaches in my life. Whether I was paddling canoe, whether I was on a football field, I mean, they were rough with me. And I thank God that God used some of that implementation of truth in my life for the good of the gospel. Are you with me? The God, go back to that first truth. The message of Christ moves forward to new locations. Let me talk about how that applies for Ohana Church. If you say you're ready, say ready.
Ready.
When my wife and I moved here on our fifth anniversary, on August 8, 2013, our fifth year anniversary, we were sleeping at the International Inter-Island Honolulu Airport, all right? Glory to God. We didn't know the Inter-Island was not 24 hours. We came from Las Vegas, right? And Las Vegas is 24-7. Well, Inter-Island Oahu wasn't the case, and we're sleeping with every homeless and their mama, auntie, uncle, everybody there, right? Well, when we got here in Hilo, I've been gone for 12 years. I didn't know much people. I wasn't in connection with much people. And so we asked, we talked amongst each other and said, you know what, let's just start praying. We know God. We connect with God. So we began our first ministry, and it was a prayer ministry down at Heleon bus stop. Anybody remember that ministry, right? Every day at 8 o'clock in the morning, we would meet there. My wife and I started off by ourselves. And then it ended up growing to 2, 3 people, and 4 people, and 5 people. Little did you know, we had a Bible study of almost 30 guys at one point there at the stuff. And what happened was, we had to move because we didn't have big enough Hawaiian tents for these Hawaiian brothers, right? Because, you know, ua come every day in Hilo, right? So we moved. So we moved to my house. And then we outgrew the house. And this house, if you guys never been to it, was on stilts on the Wailuku River on Reed's Island, right? Anybody remember that house? I remember Connie and Ruby getting married on the porch, and poor porch, right? All these big Hawaiians on this porch. I'm like, Jesus, get 50 big Hawaiians on this porch. Luckily, you know we survived because we're here this morning, right? Then later on, God moved us to the YWCA, and man, we saw some fruit, right, guys, at the YWCA. We made some mistakes on the way. We continue to make mistakes on the way. After a year and a half being at the YWCA, God brought us to this location at the Engage Church to share with Pastor John and the fellowship of Engage. And as many of you may know, we got finally down the road that we'll be moving in on Christmas Sunday, our first service. Well, what am I saying? The message of Christ moves forward to new locations. Don't get comfortable if you're part of Ohana Church. Because we change Sunday. No, I promise. We change every time. Here's the reality. The message of Christ. The message of Christ. Look at what Paul continues to say about this text. He says in 1 Corinthians, "But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost. For a wide door for effective work," say that word with me, "has open to me." Stop there because it looks like Google goggles right now, right? The rest of the text, it goes on and says, on account of, it goes on and says, "And there are many," say that word with me, "adversaries." If you think that the Christian walk is Google goggles, you got another thing coming to you, brother, sister. No, I'm serious. Christ rescued us. Christ freed us from the penalty of death, but at the same time, sin still exists in the world and affects us today. And Paul, there'll be times like Paul where you're sharing the gospel, you're advancing the gospel, and then opposition is going to come in your way. Adversaries will come in your way. They will discourage you. They will taunt you. They will make you intimidated. They will make you feel bad. But listen to me, the greatest place be is where the door of the gospel can shine brightly, because the gospel didn't come to be googles and gaggers. And I don't know why I'm saying those words today, maybe because I got a year old baby, I don't know. But the gospel has come in an open door to press this. In fact, if you're not experiencing some kind of adversary in your life, maybe you're not truly experiencing the message of Christ for your own self. Because the message of Christ intimidates sin. The message of Christ makes our sin look like it is bad, deadful, wrathful. Many of you in this church have left for a season and has come back. You may have used excuses why you've left or why you've come back, but ultimately you told us you want to hear the word. And sometimes in the case of hearing truth, we are so wrapped up with adversaries. Can I get a witness today? We are so wrapped up in our sin that when truth comes to pierce the heart, we run away from truth when that is an open door for us to there. That's the truth. We want to divorce each other. We want to run away from each other. When sin hits us, we get scared. Right now, some of you get that spiritual feeling, that condemnation. It's not condemnation. It's conviction, Hawaiian. All right? And that's good, because where there is conviction, right in that open door, there's Jesus. But listen to me. As much as you want to be redeemed from your convictions, you better thank God for conviction today. No, you better tell God that he changes our hearts. Like, God, thank you. Thank you for illuminating my heart. Thank you for illuminating my mind. God, thank you for telling me what's wrong, what's right. God, thank you for not, for me, you know, one day I was self-justifying my sin. Now you're telling me that's wrong. Thank you, God. That is illumination. That is what it means to be illuminated. If that's you, then thank God. Thank God. Listen to me. We always want to preach this message of, if you want to be free from hell, trust in God. But no. Feel convicted first. Know that you have defiled a holy God. Know that your good works doesn't even comprehend to God's glory. Your sin, my sin, our sin, y'all's sin, has all separated us from Christ. I said this last week. If this church is going to grow, it's going to grow the right way. People in this room who have sin in this life, I pray that the gospel would let you confess it boldly. I pray as I be transparent with you, as your kahu, you would be transparent with me. I pray that you would find a haven at Ohana Church to be real and honest. You smoke pakalolo? Okay. You have sexual immorality? Okay. You're living out of God's standards? Okay. Let's love you to truth. But as you clap, be open-hearted to be disciplined. Have an open heart to be changed. Because the message of Christ must go to other locations. Here's number two, what we see in our text. The message of Christ is received by both Jews and Gentiles. From verses 16 to 52, we see Paul proclaiming this gospel that I'm sharing with you, right? And at the same time, through that process of being shared, we have these people who've never heard of Jesus Christ, right? Now accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, right? We see them change. And this is what it says. Look at what verse 42 says. All right, this is after they heard the gospel. It says, as they went out, the people begged that these things might be told them the what? The next Sabbath, right? So they want to hear truth. This is good. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue what? In the grace of God. So they're in Antioch, Turkey. They're in a Jewish synagogue, right? And here's how God works. God used the teachings of the Old Testament for Paul to correlate the teaching of Christ with. So as we look at these verses, Paul is saying, you remember our forefathers? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. You remember all of them? They all point to the big Messiah, right? But this is the thought of it. These Jewish converts were thinking Messiah will come in a different form. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah talks about this. They think this Messiah would be more of a political Messiah. He may look like Obama. He may look like Fidel Castro. He may look like what, right? They're looking at a dictatorship, someone that can come, sweep away the Roman culture and context who was governing all of Israel and predominantly all of the world at this time. They were looking for someone that would come with a sword. Someone like Alexander the Great. Someone like King Arthur. And then, whoa, a baby in a manger comes. Can I get a witness? Something different. Oh, a carpenter child. Something different. They were looking for something different. And then Paul comes on the scene and he says, you're looking at the wrong details. And what we know is Paul shares the gospel in the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, the ascension of Jesus. And now that they have a better perspective of who the Messiah is, the Bible says they came to faith in Christ. I love how in this verse, it didn't talk about the Jewish people. In the text, it also says Jews and devout converts, two different people groups. So probably the local natives of Antioch got saved too. That should excite you. The gospel is not just for Hawaiians. The gospel is Spanish background people, Filipino, Asians, the Japanese people, right? The Thai people. The Vietnamese people, to Africa, to Europe, to South America, to North America. The gospel is for all people groups. The message of Christ is received both by Jews and Gentiles. Why? Because for God so loved the world. Here is God's love for you and I today. Here's God's unfailing love for you and I. That you aren't worthy. I am worthy for God's atonement. I am not good enough to be saved. In and of himself, I deserve the penalty of hell. Every one of us in this room. But thank God that his message teaches redemption. Here's a few questions for us. Why are we seeing so much life change moving forward in the book of Acts? Why are we seeing, like today, why are we seeing more growth in Ohana Church than we've ever seen? Here's the word. You ready? Grace. Grace. This is what I believe happened. I believe these Jewish believers got wrapped up in their tradition. These Jewish believers was wrapped up in what they did for God versus what Christ has already done for them. And so they got caught up in their tradition. Ohana Church, if we don't watch out, we can get caught up in our tradition. And so God is no longer refreshing anymore. It's just a routine thing, right? Then Paul comes on the scene, he preaches this gospel of grace, and now people's eyes are illuminated. People's heart is illuminated. Why? Because they preach a message that tells them you cannot do nothing. Like you could come to the synagogue today on Saturday and worship God and still be far away. God, what is the game changer is this: Jesus in you, the hope of glory. That's the game changer. Nothing you bring to the table today can rescue you. The only thing you bring to this platform is the sin that is within you. And it's only Jesus that can free you from your sin today. Can I get a witness? I mean, that's the reality. And when these Jewish and Gentile people heard this message, I have to believe that because of grace, we saw many come to know Christ. I have to believe because of grace, we're seeing this church finally grow the right way. I have to believe that it's because of grace, what God does, what he continues to do, what he will fulfill in and through you is because of God's grace. That's the only deal that I see. And so Paul in our text, as we see, is making the difference, the distinctives between religion and the gospel. We say here at Ohana Church that Christianity is not about a religion. Christianity is about a relationship with God through Jesus. We call it the gospel. And this is what I believe happened. Look at the screen. It says this. Religion focuses on the outside. The gospel focuses on the inside. Now, if you come to this church, you will realize that everybody in this church dress differently, right? I mean, my drummer wears shorts, t-shirt, a hat, and the glasses on, right? Right? We got other people that would wear different. It's the case because it's not about how we look, but rather how our heart is. And so what we try to do, we try to fix the externalism of the person when really the issue is not their externalism, it is their heart. Yeah. Can I get a witness? Yeah. Next one, religion focuses on the do's and don'ts. The gospel focuses on our freedom in Christ. So people see the Christianity as this is what I gotta do, this is what I cannot do, right? Anybody like me thought about that growing up, right? Or grew up in there? It's all about legality, laws, regulation. There's some truth to that, right? But this is what we gotta understand. The gospel focuses on our freedom in Christ. That, yeah, there is laws. There is this thing called the commandments, right? Like God didn't abolish those commandments. The Bible says he actually fulfilled the commandment. What does that mean? In and of ourselves, we cannot keep the commandments. But Jesus in us, through us, keeps the commandments in God's grace. He's the only one that can do that for us and through us. Next one. Religion focuses on kicking people out of the church. The gospel focuses on restoring people back to Christ. That is big for me. Because when I was at my lowest low in a Christian church in Las Vegas, when I was about to leave it because of my sin, a pastor by the name of Vance Pittman loved me to Jesus. He even said, don't even come to church. Don't worry about the keyboard playing. Like, we can find another person to play the keyboard. Just come meet with me once a week. Him and some other pastors met with me, and they taught me how to read the word. And by this time, I wouldn't say I wasn't even a Christian yet. But it was the foundation of loving me to the beauty of Christ. Last one, religion focuses on the law. The gospel focuses on God's grace. Some of us, we come casual into our worship gatherings because we've not experienced Christ all week. And here's the tension. If you use Sundays as the primary platform for you to be fed by God, you're missing out on a true love relationship individually with God. It is not my kuleana to hold your hand during the week and tell you when or when not to spend time with God. God in His Holy Spirit tells you to meet with me, commune with me, know me. Let me read Galatians 5:1. It says this: for freedom, Christ has what? Set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. I want you to look at that text. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Listen to me. If you came here to get an emotional fix from music, you've missed out on the truth of the gospel. What I'm telling you right now is good, whether or not it's good or bad worship music right now. What we're looking at is the truth of God's word. That if we are in Christ, we have freedom. And look, our declaration of existence, our constitution of freedom, doesn't even come close to the freedom we have in Jesus. Look on, it goes through on and it says, and do not submit again to a yoke of what? This is what it's saying. As we know the truth of the gospel, if you struggle with immoral sexuality, do not be the yoke of slavery. Do not allow it to slave you. If you struggle with a habit that does not glorify God, do not be yoked with this slavery. If you have an addiction problem, do not be yoked to slavery. If you have a relationship problem, do not be yoked to slavery. If you have a problem that separates you from the love of God, this word says that problem is free in the name of Jesus. That's what it says. We have freedom in Christ. And so I want us to respond to the gospel. I don't want to be the church that just hears the message and do nothing with it today. I want us to respond to the gospel. And here's two ways I want us to respond to the gospel. Number one, I want to worship. I want to worship in song. And after we sing a few choruses, a few verses, I want to take the Lord's Supper together. Are you with me? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes?